Thank you, Brother Wales. A blessing to be back tonight in the service. We're grateful the day the Lord's given us. And I appreciate the service this morning. And fellowship, Brother Wales, Sister Wales, and a good meal. Thank the Lord for the place to rest this afternoon. And try to refresh our body a little bit. I found out something about that as I've got just a little bit older. It doesn't refresh like it used to. And folks would tell me that. I didn't hardly understand what they meant till I reached a certain age, and I realize now that they were telling the truth. I just couldn't understand it. So I used to take those 10-minute power naps and be ready to go. But this is a little different now. But I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad that you're here tonight. And I appreciate the Lord giving us this time together. And I'm glad to be saved tonight and in the family of God. And I do covet your prayers tonight. The Lord would help us. I'd like to look tonight at 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm interested in two verses in that chapter. Verse 15. And then I would like also to read verse 18. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 15. And also verse number 18. And then try to preach as the Lord would direct us tonight. Well, when you find 2 Samuel chapter 19, if you're able, I'd invite you to stand with us. Of course, by standing, all we're doing is simply honoring and reverencing the reading of God's precious word. Now, if you're physically able to remain standing after you read these two verses, we'll pray together. And you that know the worth of prayer, do pray for us tonight. Verse 15, 2 Samuel chapter 19, the Bible reads like this. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Verse 18 said, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. I'll stop reading there. Lord, help us tonight. We thank you, Father, for this privilege to pray. We thank you for the service this morning, your presence among us, the liberty we had to preach. Lord, this is another night. Lord, this is another congregation. And Lord, I'm a leaky vessel and I need to be filled again. I need fresh oil. I need a fresh touch. So Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to have mercy on me as I endeavor to preach tonight. Thank you for this open door and for putting me in this place tonight. But I realize without your touch, without your anointing, I'll not be able to do anything tonight. But Lord, would you breathe on us? And would you help us tonight? I pray, God, that you'd I speak to every heart that's come in the doors tonight. Reveal yourself to every individual that's come in the door tonight. And reveal each one of us our need of you. Help us now, Lord, I pray. I pray, God, that you'd hide me in the cross for just a few moments. Let me lose sight of myself. And Lord, I pray you'd fill my mind with the thoughts you'd have me to think. Fill my heart with the feelings you want me to feel. Fill my mouth with the words you want spoken. I pray the word of God would go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I pray that it can find lodging in our lives tonight. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and spirits to obey what you have for us tonight. And oh God, work effectually and mightily in and through all of us tonight. Lord, do among us what we're not able to do for ourselves. Have mercy and come down tonight. Oh, Father, have your precious way. Deal with sinners' hearts. Stir up the saints. May we leave here bettered by coming tonight. May we leave here drawn closer to you. May we leave here with a greater desire to do your will. And oh, God, help us now, I pray. Above everything we ask you to do, get glory and honor unto your high and holy name. And what you're pleased to do in and through and for us, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Well, I know many of you were here this morning. Maybe some were not. But I tried to preach this morning out of 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, where it said, and the king himself went over the brook Kidron. We understood that David has to leave the throne because of the rebellion of Absalom, his son. And we see David leaving the throne and heading across the brook Kidron, headed into that wilderness area
with his head covered and he being barefoot, weeping and mourning, and the people lifting up their voice and weeping as he left the throne. And as he headed into the wilderness for a hiding place from my friend Absalom. But we reach this text tonight. Here we are four chapters later, and we read this statement tonight in verse 15, where the Bible said, "So the king returned and came to Jordan." Verse 18 said there was a ferry boat, my friend, that brought over the king's household. And the Bible said, and to do what he thought good. My, what a difference, my friend, as we look at this picture now. When David had to go away, my friend, what an awful shame it was what he became such a servant. But now it's quite different. The king is returning. I want to preach on that thought tonight. If God would help us, the king will return. I'm glad he will. Amen. I'm glad of that king himself that went over the brook Kidron. I'm glad of the Lord Jesus that left my friend the splendor of heaven and glory and came to a sin-cursed world and lived in a body of flesh and was crucified on an old rugged cross. Oh, hear me, friend, and what victories he won at Calvary, how he tasted of the brook, or drank of the brook, drank our cup, the cup of iniquity, and was made sin for us, and then bore that sin to Calvary, and his soul is made an offering, my friend, unto God. But I'm glad when he gave up the ghost, 3 days and 3 nights later, he arose again, and after 40 days of infallible proofs, he went back to heaven. Amen. And he sat down on the right hand of God till his enemies be made his footstools. And the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17, the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was afar off from where he'd been, afar off from where they had dwelt. But there come a day when the king returned. Can I report to you tonight, thank God, that same Jesus that hung on a rugged cross, can I say to you, that same Jesus is going to come again. The king is going to return. Bless his name. Just as David returned, our Lord is going to return. He's tarrying in a place that's afar off tonight. But I'm grateful, thank God, that he will come again. Amen. In Acts chapter 1, as the disciples beheld him, he was talking to them, thank God, and all of a sudden a cloud received him out of their sight. He just kept getting higher and higher as he had talked with them, and as they looked into the heavens, there were two men in white apparel, and they said these words, "This same Jesus whom you've seen go away shall also come again in like manner." The king himself, thank God, that died for sinners, the king himself that went to the rugged cross, that same king is coming again. Amen. Oh, when he came the first time, he was the suffering servant. When he came the first time, he bare the sins of many. Oh, when he came the first time, he was spit upon and ridiculed and mocked. Oh, hear me, friend. He was despised and rejected of men. But oh, when he comes again, it'll be a different story. He's not coming out of suffer. He's not coming out of bear men's sin. He's not coming, ain't got to be a servant, but he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm glad the king is going to return. Oh, bless his name. When the king returns, verse 18 said that, ain't got, there was a ferry boat to carry over the king's household to do what he thought good. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, thank God, every eye shall behold him, and the kindreds of the earth shall well because of him. Thank God he came and was looked like pushed around. We know it is in, thank God, the will of God. But can I say, when he comes again, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Bible said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. The Bible said we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. And well, thank God that he's on his way. Thank God the king's going to return in days like these. Thank God, in an hour when the world's not looking nor expecting. And when the king is going to return, and I'm looking forward to that glorious daybreak, that glorious hour, that glorious minute. And when the apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's coming, and thank God, when he comes, the church, the bride, is going, and I'm looking forward for the king's return. Woo! Bless his name tonight. I want to tell you, friend, as sure as he came the first time, he will come again. As sure as he walked the seashores of Galilee, that's how sure he'll step out on the clouds of glory. Hey God, and we'll rise to meet him. Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward and longing to that glorious hour when the king returns. Oh, I'm glad the bride, a groom is coming for the bride, and we have much confidence and assurance. Thank God that he's coming. Amen. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Would y'all agree with me tonight? The king is going to return. He's coming tonight. Oh, bless his name. What a day that'll be. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The king's return. That's what he was doing here. Amen. He was returning. Oh, thank God. I want us to look for just a moment tonight. Hallelujah. At what happened when he returned. How some folks reacted when he returned. And I wonder if our Lord was to come tonight, how would it change you? Amen. I wonder how it would affect you when David went across the brook Kidron. When David left Jerusalem, there were some people involved in things and doing things and saying things. But I'll tell you, it made a difference when he returned. Amen. I say to you tonight, when he returns, it's going to change some things. It's going to affect you. And I wonder how you'll be affected. And I wonder how you'll respond. And I wonder how you'll react tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things the Lord used me to bring me to a place to break me under conviction, because I was a church boy. And I was read Bible stories when I was raised in the home that I was raised in. Not only was I read Bible stories, I was read the Bible. And I was taken to church four times a week, every week. And then more than that, when revival time came, not only at our local church, but at the churches that were in the neighboring, my friend, communities, when they'd have revival. And so I grew up in church, and I went to Sunday school, and I, my friend, became a real church kid. Amen. And I became such a one that I learned how they did it. I learned all the mechanics, and I learned how to impersonate the church people, and I could pray like they prayed, and I could testify like they testified, and I could carry on in service like they carried on. And I got to the point I was so self-righteous that I'd look around and say, God, if this crowd goes to heaven, I'll not have any problem. But oh, when he began to deal with me, thank God that old preacher preached to me, and that the Holy Ghost, thank God, arrested me and turned the searchlight of heaven on me, I found out I wasn't near as good a fella as I thought I was. And one thing, thank God that he dealt with me about, I could sit in the church crowd and rub elbows and shoulders with them and feel comfortable. But I'll tell you, when I'd think about the Lord coming and his return, I'd realize there's going to be a separation. I'd realize there's going to be a difference, amen. I realized that I was not ready. Are y'all hearing me tonight? God help. And it affected me. And I dream about it and I think about it. And I just couldn't be ready for the king's return. Oh, hear me tonight. And I wonder, thank God, when the king's return, how it will affect you tonight. And I wonder how you'll respond to it. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. It made a difference in some individual's life. It made a difference in their actions. It made a difference in their attitude. Amen. And I say to you, friend, when the king returns, it's going to change some things. Hallelujah. Hey, hear me, friend. Hey, God, those that think they're in the driver's seat tonight are going to realize they're not in the driver's seat when the king returns. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad he's coming, aren't you? Woo! Did I miss it? Did y'all sing earlier in the service, he's coming soon? Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. He is coming soon. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's on his way. That's our glorious hope tonight. Oh, hallelujah. For, thank God, when he gets here, thank God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope within himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What's he coming for? Well, first of all, he's coming to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. Amen. He's coming, thank God. Hallelujah. My friend, to redeem the purchased possession. Thank God, to redeem these vile bodies. Amen. And whether we go by the way of the cemetery or whether we're alive and remain, it makes no difference. The Lord himself, thank God, is going to shout. I'm going to give, thank God, the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ. Arise first and we shall be changed. And we'll be caught up, I thank God, to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad he's coming tonight. The king is going to return. Hallelujah. I realize it don't excite us as much as it used to and as much as it ought to. Amen. And I realize that I've been preaching it for 37 years, and I realize this pastor preached a lot longer than I have, but I realize that in the early 70s when I preached it, I'd preached to grandpa men and grandma women. And some of them grandma women still had laced up shoes and wore bonnets to church, but they didn't have their tent pegs drove too deep. Hallelujah. And they didn't have much of this world's good. When you go talking about the Lord coming, hallelujah, you didn't have to say it too many times, and they'd be on the floor with you, and they'd shout and thank God worship because they were in anticipation and expectation of him coming again. I'm glad the king's going to return tonight. Amen. So David returned. He went across Kidron. He went out yonder in the wilderness. Thank God, with his head covered in barefoot, but he's coming now. Thank God, on the ferry boat, he's coming now. Thank God, with his people with him. Hallelujah. He's coming now. Thank God, to take the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. It's quite a different story than when he was here or when he left the first time, and so will it be when our Lord comes again. Let me say, first of all, there was a difference with Absalom when the king left than when the king returned. I guess there's a lot of types that Absalom could portray. There's a lot of types you could give to Absalom. Hallelujah. I gave him the type this morning. He's the rebellious son. He wants to sit on the throne instead of letting David sit on the throne. Amen. And that's every sinner's problem. That's the root of every sinner's problem tonight. Whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, a boy, or a girl, we want to sit on a throne of our own heart instead of letting He, the King of Glory, sit on the throne of our heart. Amen. And there never will be salvation in a sinner's life. There never will be salvation in an individual's life until we abdicate the throne. Until we, I thank God, give the throne to the King. Thank God that rightly deserves it. Amen. The one that lived and died and rose again and bought the right to be everybody's Lord. Until we say, you sit on the throne. You rule on the throne. Hallelujah. We'll never be saved. I will never be happy. Amen. Oh my. And so the King returns, and there's a different story with Absalom. The rebellion has been put down. Amen. Absalom no longer is sitting on the throne. I'll tell you, when the King returns, hey God, every sinner that's rejected and refused to obey the gospel and holds the truth in unrighteousness, I want to tell you, my friend, hey God, they'll have to leave the throne. Hallelujah. It'll be too late for any atonement. It'll be too late for any mercy. Oh, but He is coming, my friend. And I wonder where you stand tonight. Hey God, hallelujah. I wonder, are you still sitting on the throne of rebellion tonight? Or have you gave it up unto the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, there'll be a day when you'll get off and you'll bow to His Lordship. But it'll be too late, ain't God, to benefit you as far as salvation and forgiveness of sin. It'll be for the glory of God and for your own destruction and damnation tonight. How will it be when the King returns? And Absalom's not only a type of the rebellious son. Absalom's a type of the Antichrist. Absalom's a type of Satan. Amen. And I'll tell you, when our Lord comes again, He's going to deal, hallelujah, with Satan. Amen. You put that down. Matter of fact, He's done started dealing with him. Amen. Oh, bless His name. And when He returns, thank God, we're going to witness the utter destruction of Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my. One of the great joys when the Lord comes was when the church is caught up and changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and meet the Lord in the air. But I believe one of another great events for the church is to be gathered around when we will witness the very destruction of Satan himself. I believe that. I believe we'll be there. Thank God, and stand and watch. Thank God, out of this final. Thank God, has this final resting place, and He's no more allowed how to deceive the nation. He's no more allowed. Thank God, how to cause hurt and to harm. Cause harm. I believe we'll be there. Woo! Hallelujah! And there'll be some rejoicing on the part of the beloved saints of God when we see, thank God, when He's finally consumed and destroyed and put away and done away with, thank God, for the last time. Woo! Hallelujah! He's our arch enemy. Amen. Hallelujah! Bless His name. He's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Thank God. But oh, what a day that'll be when the King returns and the all enemies, thank God, are put under His feet. And Satan, thank God, will be no more. Amen. Going to deal with him. You better believe that. You better believe that. Hallelujah. The news came that Absalom was dead. Hallelujah. Amen. His death, his actual death, if you had to put it on the death certificate, if the coroner was called and he had to write the reason of death, he'd had to put Joab thrust 3 darts through his heart. But Joab would have not had the ability to thrust 3 darts through his heart had he not got caught in that tree by the hair of his head. Amen. And so his destruction started with a tree. And I want to say to you tonight, that's where Satan's destruction started with. Was that a tree? Hallelujah. Called Calvary. And I
that tree, hallelujah. Hey God, the seed of the woman bruised the head of the serpent, hallelujah. And when he comes again, he's going to finish him off, hallelujah. Woo! Did y'all know Satan's got head problems tonight, hallelujah? Did you know he's wounded tonight? Hey God, he did bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he bruised his head. And when he comes again, hey God, he's going to put the final nail in his coffin, and it's going to be over with.
Oh, bless his name tonight. Amen. All that will take place when the king returns. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. Can I say to you tonight, not only did he deal with Absalom, not only was there a difference in Absalom, he no longer was sitting on the throne. He no longer had the control. Amen. World's running its course tonight. Cup of iniquity is getting full. God's letting it. Hallelujah. Amen. And when it does get full, he's going to turn his wrath loose. Amen. And utter destruction is going to come. And this same world that we live in tonight, thank God, that's been preserved and reserved, thank God, by the word of God until the day of fire. It's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I've been here and the Lord's been coming all of my life. Well, thank God, it's been preached a lot longer than that. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank God, said he had come again. The apostles preached it. Paul declared it. Amen. Thank God, John, the revelator, expected it and even said, so come the Lord Jesus. And his coming has been imminent. Thank God, ever since he left here the first time. For we know not the hour nor the day. Thank God, but we just know he's coming back. And he said to us to be ready. Hallelujah. But we know he's coming. Amen. We know he's on his way. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I'm looking and expecting him to come, aren't you, tonight? Amen. So, here's the reaction from Absalom. Absalom has put down the Lord's letting things go and loose. But just wait. Just wait. Hallelujah. Now, can I say there were some others that reacted a different way when he was leaving and going across the brook Kidron than when he come back from Jordan. And one of them's right here in this text. I didn't read about him, but he's in verse 16 and his name is Shimei. And when David was having to leave Jerusalem, and when he had his head covered, he was barefoot, and the people were lifting up their voice to weep, and his mighty men were around him. Thank God, they came by, close to by where Shimei lived, and Shimei ran out there and throwed stones at him and throwed dust in the air and started cursing David. And said, you're a bloody man. And God's just visited. Thank God, the bloody, my friend, house of Saul. The blood that you shed on the house of Saul, for Shimei was of the house of Saul. He said, God's just visited where you shed the blood of the house of Saul upon you, amen. And he cursed David. And David's mighty men wanted to kill him. And David said, no, if God has bid him to curse, let him curse. I guess me and you was talking about just talking in Alabama and Tennessee language. We did say if God told him to cuss, let him cuss. And that's what he's doing. He's cussing the king as he goes over the brook and he's got his head covered and he's weeping and he's mourning and he's barefoot. Oh Lord. He's raising sand, if you'll have it. He's throwing the dust in the air. He's throwing stones at him. I want to tell you, when David comes back now on that ferry boat, when David and his people are coming with him, thank God, back across Jordan, Shimei's got a different idea now. Hallelujah. Shimei's not cursing. He's not throwing stone. He's not raising sand or throwing the dust up. Shimei, thank God, humbles himself and says, oh, King, thank God, I remember what I did when you was crossing the brook Kidron. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder when the king returns if he'll bring a difference in your attitude tonight.
Some folk can't live without cussing. They got to cuss the preacher. They got to cuss the church. They got to cuss the Bible. They got to, amen. Now, I don't necessarily mean to use foul language. They could do that, and some of them do that. But some of them, thank God, always mouthing, always despising, always talking about God and God's people and God's book. And thank God, everything that has to do with God. But I'll tell you, it'll be different when the King returns. Hallelujah. What do you do with them, preacher? We have to do a lot of time what David said, just let them cuss. But I'll tell you, when the King gets here, he'll put a damper on it. Hey, God, he'll make a difference. And he'll cause those, my friend, that have accursed, my friend, and despised, my friend, the things of God, to humble themselves and take on a different approach. You hearing me tonight? Shimei felt a little different now, didn't he? The Bible said when he comes, and I realize I'm lumping all that together. If y'all excuse me for doing that tonight, I'm just lumping the Lord's return together. Amen. I'm not preaching that, and I don't know how well qualified, how well studied I am to do that, but I'll tell you this much, he is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. And the thing you and I better do is get ready for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad when he comes, he will put down that rebellion. He will put down those that have despised and rejected him. Are you hearing me tonight? So here's Shimei. He's cursing and swearing. But there's going to be a difference now when the King returns. Not only is there Shimei, but what about Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth is that individual of the house of Saul that David showed kindness for Jonathan's sake. He's the one that found grace in the eyes of David, and he got to David's palace, he got to David's table, and he became a member of the family, and he was allowed to eat bread at David's table continually. Hallelujah. And oh, what favor that Mephibosheth had. But the king's gone now. He's went across the brook, Kidron, because of Absalom. And somebody's told David that Mephibosheth, hey, God wanted the throne back. He wanted to raise up and be again a part of the house of Saul. And that's why he didn't go out to meet David when he was fleeing. That's what is told on him. But when the king returned and Mephibosheth met him, then he said, oh, my king, I know what's been told on me, but oh, my king. He said, ever since you've been gone, I hadn't dressed my feet and I hadn't trimmed my beard. I've just been a mourning and waiting for you to get back. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, when the king returned, he'll set things right, won't he?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You serve God, you live for God. Yea, all that live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And some folks think they do favor by dreaming something up or saying something about you that's untrue. But I want to tell you, when the king returns, he'll put it all in order. Thank God, he'll decipher who is telling what. Hallelujah. I look forward to that myself, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. I look forward when he gets here because he's going to be able, thank God, to put some things aright, thank God, and to determine, and my friend, he will reckon it, thank God, who has told the truth and who has lied about the thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to live with a lot all of her life until he was resurrected. But when he got up, she could say, I've been telling you all these things all these years, and y'all wouldn't believe them. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there's some things that's going to come out. There's some truth that's going to be exposed. Thank God, there's some misconceptions and lies and untruths that's going to be brought out, for the Lord's going to know. Thank God, them that truly waited on him, and what our desire was and what our expectation and anticipation was, Well, hallelujah, thank God. Oh, I'm glad his reward is with him to give it to every man according as his work shall be. And you better believe my Lord keeps a record of the moments I'm living down here. He knows all about me. The song says, oh, my heartaches, my troubles and fears. I'm thankful, hallelujah. Thank God, brothers, I may say things others may accuse. Others, thank God, may tell untruths. But thank God for the day when the king returns and he'll set her right. Hallelujah. Amen. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. There is Absalom. There is Shimei. There is Mephibosheth. And then there's that fellow by the name of Barzillai. Barzillai. And I'll tell you what Barzillai did. Let me get back up here where I can find the exact text. Barzillai met the king when he was crossing over the brook, or when he crossed over the brook and headed into the wilderness. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 27, the place where Barzillai met David was a place called Mahanaim. Mahanaim. And the Bible said he brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for the people that were with him to eat, for the people were hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So Barzillai, the Bible said he was a man of means. He's an aged man. But he comes to David's aid and serves and offers unto David of his own substance. Amen. Let me say just a word or two about that Mahanaim where he meets him. It's first mentioned in Genesis 32. And the word simply means where two companies become one. And if y'all remember, in Genesis 32, Jacob is on his way back to Bethel. Laban and his sons have countenance has turned toward against Jacob because the Lord's blessed him, where he's got all those that wealth while he was there. And also the Lord speaks to him and says, go to Bethel, where I first appeared to you. So after 20 years in Paddan Aram, he loads up his family and heads back to Bethel. And as he heads back to Bethel, what he dreaded and what he feared and the reason he left Canaan to start with is Esau is coming with 400 men. And the scout or the sentry says Esau's coming with 400 men. And Jacob don't know what to do. But the Lord, he said, go back to Bethel. And at a place called Mahanaim, the Bible said the angelic host meets up with Jacob and his host. And they too become one. Amen. They're two separate hosts till they reach Mahanaim, but when they get to Mahanaim, they blend together. And from then on, they're traveling as one company. Oh, bless his name tonight. Can I preach to you tonight? We're not in this by ourselves. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, preacher, the pews are not full. The building's not filled to capacity tonight. Are you talking about them that wasn't able to be here? No, not really tonight. But can I say there's some folks, I thank God, in this meeting tonight or around this meeting that you can't see that's not sitting in these pews tonight. Oh, it's an angelic host. And we are not in this journey by ourselves. We are not fighting this battle by ourselves. Hey, God, there's somebody with us tonight. Oh, hear me, friend. And we've not only, my friend, got the help of the blessed Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit, but thank God for that angelic host that travels with us to help us along the way. And when David and his people had come over the brook Kidron and were hungry and weary and thirsty, at the place of Mahanaim is where they were met with basins and beds, thank God, and barley and parched corn, hallelujah, amen, and pulse and water, thank God, and butter and kine. Just about the time you think you can't go another mile, just about the time on the journey in the wilderness when it looks like you're out of strength, that's when the Lord will send somebody by. That's when the Lord will get in the matter and give you the supplies and the needs necessary and to travel on and the strength to march on. I want to say bless His high and holy name tonight. He never leaves us to ourselves. He never leaves us, thank God, to try to make it on our own. It may feel like that sometime, but just in the hour of desperation, He'll always send the supplies to get us where He wants us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. And so here he is. Here's Mephibosheth and here's Shimei, and now here's Barzillai. That's what he done when the king went over the brook. But can I say to you, when the king returns, verse 31 of 2 Samuel 19, that Barzillai came down and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Verse 32 tells us he's 84 years old, or 80 years old, and tells us that he gave the king sustenance at Mahanaim, and he's a great man. And David hadn't forgot what Barzillai done. And he said in verse 33, Barzillai, since you fed me at Mahanaim in the wilderness, come thou over with me and I'll feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Since I'm going back to the throne now, he said, you go with me and I'll feed you. You fed me, I'll feed you. Can I say to you tonight, the Lord is not unfaithful to forget your work of faith and your labor of love. It may be out in the wilderness where nobody else recognizes it, but God knows what you've done. God knows what you're doing. And there may not be no pat on the back or no handshake or nobody, thank God, to say any words. Thank God, my friend, thank God, to boost you up or to help you or encourage you. But can I say, when He comes, hallelujah, His reward is with Him. And He'll remember what you did in your service to the Lord. Oh, it don't go unnoticed from Him. He's got her down. Barzillai, he said, come over with me. Ride this ferryboat with me. Let's go over Jordan. Let's go up to Jerusalem and you just sit down and eat with us. Barzillai said, David, I'm an old man. I wouldn't do you no good when I got to Jerusalem. Can't hear too good. Can't think too fast. Can't speak too plain. Can't taste too well. Don't have a lot of strength. Hallelujah. He said, let one of these young men go. And David kissed him. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. David kissed him. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, friend, to hear him say, well done. To have him take us and kiss us with that kiss of affection and a kiss of appreciation, it'll be worth everything. I want to say it like this tonight. For him to place his lips on you when he returns will be worth having all them other lips that have been placed on you in the wrong way. I'm talking about. Somebody said, I'll tell him all about it then. No, when he kisses you, that kiss will make all that other flee away. One kiss from him will erase all that other talk, all that other trials. The song says, and you sing it, I'm sure, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He'll be forgotten then when he says, well done. When he says, I appreciate what you did for me. Hallelujah. What a day that'll be. Well, let me look at one other character and I'll be through. And I wonder where you fall in this category tonight. Are you a Barzillai? Are you a Shimei? Are you a Mephibosheth? Are you an Absalom? Who are you tonight? And what's going to happen when the king returns? What's it going to do to you? Because that's going to separate the men from the boys. That's going to pull off the cloak of deception and hypocrisy. That's going to bring everybody out from under their hiding place. Everything going to be up and up when the king returns. You're going to have honesty in that day. No pretension. Look at Judah, the tribe of Judah and Israel in this text. The tribe of Judah is David's own tribe. And he's getting ready to come back and Absalom's already dead, and the Bible said that, verse number 10, that the king sends message to Judah and says, why do you speak not a word of bringing the king back? Verse 11, he says to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests say, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? You're my brethren, verse 12. You're my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are you the last to bring back the king? I realize prophetically that could be the nation of Israel. And they will be the last to recognize him for who he is. But can I use it in a spiritual application tonight? I wonder, are you welcoming his return tonight? When he said to John in Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly. And you know what John said? Even so come, Lord Jesus. I wonder, are you a little slack about welcoming back tonight? Because though you're saved tonight, you've not abided in him. And therefore you'd be ashamed at his appearing. I wonder, are you really ready for him to come? Have you watched under prayer? Or have you become drunken on the cares of life? And have you let things distract and take away from you that anticipation and expectation and readiness for him to come? We're to be as those that when he knocks, we can immediately open the door. That's what that Bible said for us to do and the way we're supposed to live. And David had to upbraid his own tribe because they was the very last ones that saying a word about bringing him back. Do you want him to come tonight? Could you say as John the Revelator, even so come, Lord Jesus? Or is there areas and things in your life tonight, areas in your life and things in your life tonight that you're ashamed, things tonight you need to confess, things tonight you need to take care of, and you're not really welcoming him. And I don't want to be ashamed when he gets here. And I don't want to have to say, Lord, let me do this or let me do that, or I should have done this or I should have done that. It'd be a little late then. I want to be ready, do you? How is it with you tonight if the king was to return? And the thing about it is, this could be the night. He does return. Hallelujah. What are you happy about, preacher? Because if you'd see what I was and where he brought me now and what I could be just any moment, you'd be happy to know what he's done in my life tonight. The king's return. No opting out. No saying, I'll get you next time around. No, no. Final. All the playing, all the pretending, gonna be over with. Is it well with your soul tonight? How's his return gonna affect you? Sure made a difference in some folks when he went away and how they acted toward him than when he returned. And how is it gonna be with you tonight? Everybody stand across the building. So the king returned. How is it going to be with you? Whether you're alive when he comes or whether you've done went to the cemetery, you're going to face the king. Be resurrected or stand before him, you're going to have to face him. What kind of reward will you have? What kind of readiness do you have tonight? If you're in this building tonight, if you're in this congregation, an unsaved, unprepared, would you come? If you're in this congregation tonight, and a saint, already been saved, but oh, there's some areas, some things in your life, you've not been abiding in him, or some things in your life that's not right, that you need to take care of so you can be ready when he comes. Do that while the sister plays tonight. And while the Spirit of God speaks, would you do it? Let God have his way with you tonight. Would you have the kind of honesty tonight that you're going to have when the king returns? If the Spirit of God's dealt with you, if you feel the need of prayer and the burden of prayer, please don't stand back or hold back tonight. Get in this altar and fix whatever it is that needs to be fixed. Do whatever it is that needs to be done. Pray over whatever it is that needs to be prayed over tonight. Allow God to do for you what you can't do tonight. Would you do it? Oh, would you come? Be honest and come. Be as honest tonight as you're going to have to be when he comes. Sinner, get off the throne of your heart and humble yourself before him tonight. You that's despised and cursed, oh, you're asked for mercy tonight. You that's been waiting for him to come, and others have said things that's completely untrue about you, just have patience. Just wait a little longer. It won't be long till he returns. And he'll weed all through it. He'll settle a score. Have you been one that served him? Have you given to him? Though it's been unrecognized, it won't be when he returns. So just keep serving. Keep bringing your sustenance to him. And oh, tonight, are you the last to bid him to come? Can you from your heart welcome him tonight? Say, Lord, nothing else to be done, nothing else to be said. No more prayers to be prayed, no more things to be made right. No more sin to confess. Can you say from your heart? If you're coming quickly, even so come. Lord Jesus. Oh, if you can't from your heart welcome him tonight, come on, get in this altar. Let him have his way with you tonight. How will it be with you when the king returns? And he is going to return.